The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Over in the corner.
Well, nobody puts Whitney
Whitney's,
in the corner.
Whitney's, except maybe Jesus.
Ooh,
he's dead.
Too soon. I mean, too soon.
Gone.
Too soon.
Beautiful voice. I just watched The Bodyguard recently. I love her in that one.
you just sat down to watch The Bodyguard?
Yeah. It was on TV, and I'm like, you know what? I love this movie. It's on. I'm going to watch it. It was a great soundtrack. I mean,
what about The Hitman's Bodyguard?
That's a funny one too. Ryan Reynolds and
fantastic.
Samuel. Yeah, that's a funny one.
It's getting a sequel.
I tried. Yeah, I heard. I saw Samuel L. Jackson on Colbert the other night, and they were talking about that as a sequel. I still haven't seen the first one. Is it? It's good.
That was a super.
It's
like
so fun.
I didn't expect
Netflix.
Much, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh, huh.
Very entertaining.
I'll have to try that out.
His car is the best part. Like he has like that pimped out car at the beginning that all of a sudden just downgrades. It's like a minivan.
I'm a bit of a Ryan Reynolds fanatic though. So.
I love Ryan Reynolds.
My love for Ryan Reynolds goes deep. Obviously I think it starts at Van Wilder for everybody.
Yeah.
No, for
yeah.
me, two guys, a girl, and a pizza place.
Oh, you take it that far.
I watched the show live and I had no idea who Ryan Reynolds
was. It was a really good show. It was a really good show. They just got canceled before its time.
Yeah. And I'm like, this guy's fucking funny. Yeah. Like, he needs to do movies.
Yeah. And then he did.
And
worked out all right for him.
Deadpool. Yeah. Deadpool.
Loved him.
Every time I look at Van Wilder, all I hear in my head is, take it to the car wash.
Vax it. Oh, man.
Vax it. Teach me, Wilder. Teach me noise.
Remember the dog when it was like they gave him the donuts with the dog when it ejaculated the donuts? That
oh my
scene?
Goodness, yeah. Was it into a cup?
No? Well, not like you.
You weren't here last week, Chris.
Yeah.
We somehow got off on some sort of tangent that what I do during the afternoon is masturbate into cups.
Oh, all right.
Because we filmed the last episode in the afternoon. And
what was the name we gave it?
Marshmallow. It was marshmallow creamer.
Yes,
marshmallow right. creamer. That's what
Steve. Creamer. Steve wanted coffee. I didn't have creamer. I told him I had marshmallow creamer, and Martin was like, "That's just jizz."
Yeah,
that's
just Mike's excuse to ejaculate into a cup.
Yeah, and then serve it to people who come over to do a podcast. That's my Saturday afternoon plan. Speaking of podcasts, thank you everybody who has joined us this week. We'll start with Martin Varl, one of Winnipeg's local comedians. Say hello, Martin.
Hello. Can I plug my show, Mike?
Yes, totally. Please feel free
to it.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
No. yeah.
Not how you're doing. Just everybody pay attention to me.
I'm doing well. Actually, I have a show at Rumors on Tuesday. I'm opening for Andy Noble, really funny comedian. Show's at 7:45. It's also 2-for-1 Tuesday, so bring a friend. 2 tickets for the price of 1.
Perfect. Woo! Me and Aaron are going to come see you.
Cool.
That on Tuesday.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too. I haven't seen you for a couple weeks, so.
Well, it's been like a few months.
Is
when was the last time you saw me? Like March?
April? Have no gauge for time and size.
I'm pretty sure it was February probably. The Sasha show was the last time you guys saw me.
It was great because you were awesome and chicken fingers are super cheap at Wee Johnny's.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, Wee Johnny's? That's one of the best places in Winnipeg to do comedy.
$5 double, 75
go see comedy. I'm not
fingers.
Doing the comedy. Perfect. So anything else you want to say about it or you're...
Nope, that's it.
Perfect. And to his, I can't tell right or left right now, but to...
Left.
To his opposite of the room is...
To his clockwise.
You're right, my left.
Is our pop culture aficionado, Mark Cowell.
Pop culture aficionado.
You've been dubbed that.
Or as my friend Jeff says, aficionado. Because he can't pronounce aficionado.
Is it jalapeno to him too?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I don't have anything to plug.
No?
No.
Not even a lamp or...
Not even...
Your phone for charging or...
I can plug that.
Yeah, okay.
My zipper's undone. I was getting a little too comfortable here.
Is it breathing?
A little marshmallow creamer.
What do you... Want to take that out and plug it in somewhere?
There you go.
You getting that?
Yeah, I am not a comedian, although I find myself funny.
That's the first step.
That is the first step.
Yeah, but this is me. So this is my voice if anybody had... problems distinguishing between the four of us. This is my signature here.
Yeah, I don't think we sound alike, but I guess the people who are listening, it's nice to confirm who is who. To somewhere else in the room, we go to Christopher Stanton. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
How are you doing this week?
I am doing good.
Yeah?
Yes.
Do you? I think you have a show coming up too.
Yeah, I have stuff to. I just didn't.
Let's just go right to the plugs. Fuck
yeah,
it.
I didn't want to be jumping all over it like Martin was.
I'd just like to go to business. Yeah, let's get to the business. Segue.
Let's smooth and you know. Yes, I have. I'm putting on a show at Le Garage Cafe on June 21st, Friday, next Friday, 6 days from now. No, not 6 days because this is airing not right now.
It was yesterday. You missed it.
Right? fucking editing problem, right?
No, but yeah, it's a comedy show. Comedy at Le Garage, it is called. We got another great lineup of comics. This feature act is Rumors host Julian Rowan. So come on down. It's only $5 tickets, so come check it out.
Awesome. Sweet. I'll be there. And you're also, you got another thing coming up too, right?
I got a bunch. Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah,
please. Right. Just plug away.
Yeah, this is our first time doing these. Well, like this. So.
I'm in the competition coming up at Rumors as well. That's on July 2nd, first round. $5 tickets for that. Got a lot of tickets to sell for that, but come on down for that too. And then.
What's that competition called?
That's Funniest Person with a Day Job.
Nice.
Or Winnipeg's Funniest. I think it's got a couple different.
That's a long running competition, right?
Yeah, it's been around for a while. Yeah, and a lot of the comics that have won it are still in the scene. They're still doing stuff, so it's great.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I'm Michael Petro. I'm your host, and I have this podcast to plug. So please listen. that's the other show. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't know, I'm sure they figured it on the social media aspect. But I do another podcast with Mark Cowell called Should Have Known Better, where we look back on our 16-year-old selves. And we ask one of life's major questions and we apply the knowledge we have today to when we were 16 and see if we have, should have known better.
It's fantastic. I could have plugged that.
You could have. Yeah.
I waited for you. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's great. We do a deep dive into our lives, learn a lot about each other.
No script, no nothing. Just Jason makes a list of questions that Mark hates. Mark's like, fuck the list. I can do this off my cuff.
Fuck lists.
Fuck lists. No organization. This guy's like Jackson Pollock. Just throw paint at the wall and sell it for $3 million. That's his process.
Call it art.
let's go in order that I said we were going to go in this week. Mark, how are you?
And I'm
what
good.
Did you watch?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Yeah. Do you want me to, I can kick over to.
And yet. Oh, does this mean I can steal the show that both Martin and I watched before Martin says it? Oh, harsh.
Leave him hanging. Just do it.
I got to look at my phone and see what I watched.
No, that's fine. It's fine. You guys
no,
can share.
You know what? I didn't.
No, go ahead. Steal it. I got something else.
Steal. Now I just feel guilty. Now nobody's going to say it. Actually, what I did do is I went. This new show. What is it called? It's Chef something.
The Chef Show.
The Chef Show.
Yeah.
Based on the characters from the movie Chef. And it was really interesting. I went back and watched Chef, though, if anybody hasn't seen it. Really good flick.
Who's in it? It's John Favreau.
Yeah, Sophia John Favreau.
Is it Favreau?
Favreau.
Yeah, Favreau. Right, of course it's Favreau.
John Leguizamo?
Yeah, Leguizamo was the, you know, the Cubano. Who
the sous chef,
starts
I guess. Is it
yeah.
sous chef? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, just basically they get a food truck and they make great Cuban sandwiches and drive across the country and learn a lot about life and people and...
It is a really feel-good movie.
It is.
And
it's kind of similar to the movie. I'm not going to say it, but it's kind of similar to the movie you are debating today.
Oh, yeah. A guy and his son in a vehicle driving across the country. They don't know about each other.
They don't know about each other very well, so they learn.
Did Chef rip off over the top?
Yeah, no, I watched a couple episodes of it so far. It's cool because it's based on the fact that the chef on the show is the guy who trained him for the movie, right? And then he says, well, we stopped
Roy Choi,
yeah. And we stopped cooking food, and then it's like, well, what do we do now? And then obviously Favreau's got his production. Favreau has his own production company, so he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, he's kind of a big deal now.
It is. And it's that one episode with Gwyneth where she can't remember that she was in
She was in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That was in Spider-Man. No, I was in Avengers. No, you were in Spider-Man.
The very end, one scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Spider-Man? She says. Yes, that was Spider-Man.
Clearly it meant a lot
to who was it?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
She didn't know she was in Spider-Man?
Homecoming, yeah.
No. She had no idea she was in it.
What'd she think it was, Avengers?
Yeah.
And they made the dish they cooked on that episode was
pepper pot.
Yeah.
It looked really good.
It did look vegetarian, too. Yeah.
Favreau was dying out there for a minute. It was at
Favreau.
Least
Favreau.
Fuck off. Whatever.
Call him John.
Yeah, just call him John.
Okay, we're on a first name basis. John was like, no. And she's like, yeah. And it was this awkward moment until it clicked.
Exactly, Michael Perto. Oh, sorry, Petro. Yeah, so I'm up here. I watched that. Good stuff. And then I watched some trailers, right?
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about that after?
We'll get there, yeah. Keep it in your pants.
I don't think I watched it. I didn't do any movie watching. We really were going to go see Dark Phoenix, and then we read so much crap about it that we just changed our plans and go to the movie that night. So
it did get some shit reviews.
Yeah. I think I kind of said I'm not going to the theater to see this one. I'm just going to wait till it comes out.
Like, the last one wasn't great. Like, they had to do something spectacular in this one to make it
And it doesn't seem like it happened. And I love the characters. Like, I love X-Men. I really want it done well. I want the MCU version of X-Men.
I just don't like Sophie Turner as Jean Grey. I don't know what it is. I don't like her as Jean Grey.
I like her.
I like her as Sansa Stark. She was a good Sansa Stark, but
I've purged Game of Thrones from my mind.
Yeah, this is a no Game of Thrones home now.
Can we just everything season 7 and below?
Yeah. When it was real. Yeah, so I didn't consume a lot this week. Yeah, I think it was just a busy week. I wasn't home very much. And
you mean you got out of the house and you did things?
I did
and
stuff.
Enjoyed life?
It's summer. Yeah, I went out.
Summer is very a loose term right now in the city.
Yeah,
I mean, it's on the cusp.
Yeah,
it's almost there.
I did do a bunch of trailer watching. That was about the close thing. And I'm a YouTube fanatic, rabbit hole, like, plot twists, reading all about where, like, the MCU is going and reading all about interesting new movies that are coming out. And I think I do more of that than I do consume the actual movies.
Do you ever, like, backspace after you found yourself in a hole to see how many backspaces you have to
I've
do?
I've never
to
done back, that, actually.
I've found myself, like, 30, 40 backspaces until you're at your starting page. Where you
I've had
from.
My browser close and not have any idea how I found where I was and how to get back there.
It really is a deep hole. You just
they
give you so far to go.
Yeah. I consume a lot of YouTube because I watch it at work. So I kind of have multiple screens going. So I have a lot of YouTube going while I'm on my other two screens. So
glad to see you're working hard.
Yeah. And when I watch it, I don't want to watch a movie like that because I like to be more invested in my movie watching.
Yeah, I get it. There's movie on in the background while you're doing shit. And then totally.
Like, I was mass consuming the show Hot Ones on YouTube.
Oh, that's great.
This past week, you look like confused.
Yeah,
Mike.
Tell me.
You don't
more.
Know Hot Ones?
Oh, man.
I don't watch a lot of YouTube.
Sean Evans, fantastic host. It's basically like a.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this Hot Wings?
Chicken Wings. Eat Hot Wings.
Okay, yes, I do. Yeah.
And
First We Feast series, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
he's
that's how I know.
Blown up as far as the guests he's getting are just incredible.
A-listers.
Yeah. Halle Berry was just on. And
didn't Michelle Obama or Barack Obama come on too? I think
I don't know about that. Are they trying to get him?
Okay. Everybody's. Well, Netflix.
But they had
him.
Scarlett Johansson on recently, and I was watching Tyra Banks' episode.
Wow.
And like really, really good. And he asks unbelievable questions. He does really good research on his people. And
aren't the hot wings, like, don't they get hotter,
as they progress?
As they go.
It's just sort of something to do while you're talking about the person's life. And
yeah,
you get the real side of them because of the, you know,
the
their mouths burning and their sweat. Like, what the fuck did you do? Oh, no, that's what I watched. I just watched Trevor Noah on it. Awesome episode. Anyways. Yeah. So that's me.
Cool.
In a nutshell.
He'll be in Winnipeg soon, isn't he? Is he coming to Winnipeg or is it BC?
I don't think he's coming to Winnipeg. If he was coming to Winnipeg, I missed out on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love him. Love Trevor Noah.
I'd be paying lots of money for those tickets if I knew he was rolling through. All right. Well, let's move on. Chris, how you doing?
Good.
What'd you watch this week, buddy?
I sat down and rewatched The Matrix for I don't know how many times I've seen it.
Like the whole series? Did you do it?
No, you know what? I'll be honest. I fell asleep. It was late at night. But I probably got to the point where he actually comes out of the Matrix. And
he gets unplugged?
He gets unplugged. That's where I started dozing off. But I sat there. I was like, man, like, it's been like 20 years now. I've seen this probably at least almost once a year.
It holds its place.
And the action still holds up. So yeah, some of the stuff maybe isn't as, you know, fine-tuned as some CGI that we see now, but it's still a great ride.
I think it was and this is just my personal opinion being an outsider, but I think it was about 5 years ahead of its time when it started with what CGI it was doing. So I think that's why it isn't, you can't hold it to something today, but it still is definitely.
No, and I've always just liked that idea, that story, that
Living in a simulation?
The machines take over.
Yeah.
I like that apocalypse.
Talk about a premise that's been used so many times in other movies and shows and stuff since. I mean, how many references to the Matrix have there been in other popular culture?
Oh yeah,
or like the red pill, blue pill joke, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or I mean, how many Matrix scenes are there where somebody dodges something? Like every movie imaginable has a Matrix scene where
somebody dodging bullets, or
yeah, like Shrek. Shrek had a Matrix scene. Yeah.
Totally. If there's any slow mo in a movie now, you could probably go back. The Matrix,
the
really
bending of the back.
Cool.
Yeah.
I know I mispronounced Favreau. So is it Wachinski? The Wachinski brothers?
Sisters now.
Wachinski. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Wachinski. That's why we have you here, Mr. Pop Culture. You've got your finger on the pulse.
The pulse. So here's a funny example that me consuming things like the deep dives and stuff.
Yeah.
Never watched a Matrix movie.
Really?
What the fuck?
I've watched probably 20 hours worth of Easter eggs and deep dives into the Matrix, so I know the whole movie. I've never sat down and watched it from start to finish.
Wow.
First one's really good. So the second one kind of, third one.
Yeah.
It
really
has all the problems that a trilogy has, right? First one, great. Second one, not so
just
much.
Just watch the first one.
Ties it all in.
The Animatrix, I also
enjoy. Animatrix is great.
It's the anime anthology series. I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
I've seen reference to it, and I've watched a couple clips on YouTube. I heard nothing but good things.
It's a lot of cool, like, backstory stuff.
Yeah. It takes lore. And
one whole segment, or it's like a two-parter, is like the robot revolution and how it all starts.
Basically, the missing pieces that you didn't get in the movies.
They reference it when Morpheus says that humans blocked out the sky. They tell you why they did that.
It's tons of nukes against tons of machines.
It's just so depressing.
If whatever happens.
And it's a slaughter. Like, it's not like, oh, they took them over in Brazil and they really fought back. No, it's just
dead.
Because they block out the sky in hopes that the robots use solar power that they'll be.
Oh.
And the robots are like, no.
Not having this. Yeah. And then it's just humanity. We're taking over.
They got like these crazy like robot horses that they're going across a battlefield and just human corpses everywhere. And they start experimenting on them and everything. And yeah, it's just.
I thought Skynet was bad.
It's genocide, really.
Can I say you got some fantastic socks on today?
Thank you. They're lemon.
Did you send that picture to Donald Trump?
No.
Why didn't you do that?
Why would I? What? It's my funny. Socks?
No, you have the socks with the penis.
Lemon socks with a purple background.
When life gives you lemons, you buy socks. I saw those on Instagram. I thought they were very stylish. Yeah. I feel that like socks and underwear are turning over a new leaf with style.
They're
like
quirky.
There's a lemon behind that lemon shaped rock.
I
saw the Simpsons quote.
Yeah. There's a lemon behind that rock.
But like, there was a time where putting pizza on your socks was like, what are you thinking? But now pizza on your socks gets like, you go to a party where you have to take your shoes off, and you want people to look at your socks just as much as they were looking at your shoes,
right? Maybe more. That's the men's trend too. The short pants now with suits and stuff, and then the really stylish socks.
I
see a lot of men sporting that.
It's an accessory. Martin, hello.
Hey,
what did you watch this week, buddy?
Because the last episode was about rom-coms, I watched a rom-com.
No.
Yeah, it's a really good one. It's on Netflix. It's Always Be My Maybe.
I knew.
It's super good.
I saw
that
coming. Yeah.
I'll admit this on air. I'm not a fan of Crazy Rich Asians, but this one was an amazing, like, had two main characters that were both Asian, Randall Park and Ali Wong.
Like, you're not a fan of the Crazy Rich Asian show or
the movie?
Just Crazy Rich Asians in general.
In general. They're a little snob. No, I'm kidding.
The views of Martin Navarro do not necessarily represent the views.
I'm Asian, so I could say that.
Yeah, just so everybody know the color of his skin. Yeah. It's yellow.
You're Asian?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, he doesn't see color. He just sees humans. No, it's really good. I liked it because it's about two characters who are around, like, I guess, my age group. I guess me and Mike.
Yeah.
Our age group. Like, it had a very wicked soundtrack, like a very hip-hop, R&B, 90s kind of jam. And
it's current.
Cool, it's current. Cool. It's really good. It's really funny. And, like, Randall Park and Ali Wong just both knock it out of the park.
She's great.
Yeah.
I didn't like her stand-up as much, but I've kind of played in and out of that movie this week, and I'm impressed with her performance. Like,
yeah, it's really good.
She's angry in her stand-up, but maybe I didn't watch all of it, so maybe
we're angry people, Mike. Have you heard us in our native tongue?
Martin, I feel our watching habits are very similar in the fact that you turn on Netflix and whatever they splash on the screen, that's their big like show of the moment. I just hit play because that's how I watch the Chef Show. And
it's the recommended stuff for you, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Netflix a little racist because they're like recommending this Asian thing for me. But I mean, it was good. I loved it. It was a really good movie. I recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah. All right.
It's a fun little movie.
I got into Brockmire this week. Hi, it's Michael, by the way.
Hey.
Hey, everybody.
Brockmire. I've also started watching that too.
What is Brockmire?
Brockmire is a character that Hank Azaria created. Mm. Famous voice of The Simpsons for anybody who doesn't know. Plus, I mean, what? He was in the original Godzilla, first Godzilla, right?
Yep.
He was the dog walker in Mad About You. Like, he's been that character actor over time.
Yeah.
Which, and now makes, like, what, a mil plus an episode on The Simpsons?
So. His voice is a ridiculous.
He does so many voices.
His voice. And so this is a baseball announcer who's a drunk, and his life fell apart over his wife finding out that she was omnisexual and just wanted to have everybody inside of her. So he walks away from his great career as a baseball announcer, lives in India for a bit, does shitty commercials, and then gets called back to the States under the guise of a new career option, and he finds out that he's calling shitty, like, A-League baseball.
Does it take place? Where does it take place? Oh, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Okay. I was like, please say Boston or New York.
Like backwater Pennsylvania.
Backwater Pennsylvania. Okay, like, yeah. the maybe four people show up to these games, and Amanda Peet owns the team, and she also owns the local bar. So she's basically struggling to keep both together and has used Brockmire's character or Brockmire's personality to bring life back into the baseball team. Oh. Imagine Californication, but in baseball.
Oh, really?
So,
who,
like,
does it? Who
that's
does it?
Interesting.
Hank Azaria does, or who does
who does the show?
IFC, I think. He's in production with IFC and two other production companies. It's Funny or Die too. It's Funny or Die, IFC, and something else. So there's
I liked me some Californication,
and it's only like 21 minutes. It's almost minuet like.
It's crass.
Yes, it's very crass. It's very dirty.
Is there fucking and punching?
Oh yes.
Oh yes.
My favorite part about that show.
I also feel he's got a little bit of the Simpsons-inspired writing. I don't know if anyone from that show is on it, but there's certain jokes where I'm like, oh, that's a Simpsons joke right there. This is so good. I love it.
It really is his Simpson.
It gets goofy a little bit.
Perfect way of explaining it.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
But it still keeps its realism.
You have piqued my curiosity.
Like, yes. there's a scene where he gets invited back to do this sports announcer's dinner. And it's been like 20 years since this whole meltdown, and he didn't know he was a hit on YouTube and a meme and a term. Like,
oh, really?
When you Brockmire something, it means to have your wife sleep with 20 men and leave the country. So he's being exposed to all these things he doesn't know with this baseball caller's voice in the background, right? Like, it's, but imagine him saying, "She fucked me in the ass sideways," right? He steals second on his way to third. It's like it's the same cadence.
That's a lot of Duffman in that.
That's all Duffman.
Sorry. I don't know my Simpsons reference that well. I was blocked from watching it. I'm going to put that on the record for the first time. My home was not a Simpsons home, so there's a lot of humor I'm missing out on, which is why I started watching it, because he's absolutely great. So
where's that on?
Crave.
Crave, nice.
Yeah, so... that's what we've watched. Trailer?
Yeah, let's do it.
You were talking about trailers, Mark, so now I'll let you to talk about trailers. So this
not
week
the camping kind either.
Not the RVs.
Or are we?
Yeah. I bought a new Winnebago the other day. It's fantastic.
34 footer? Is that
we're gonna need a bigger truck.
I don't know where you are in relation to Martin, so don't ask me to use feet in measurement, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I can't figure out who's wearing the fucking room.
He thought like this was like 1 foot.
Yes, yeah. No, exactly. Like, what do you think I told Shauna when I met her?
Right? No, she told her this is 1 foot.
Yeah, this is 6 inches. She was sorely incredibly disappointed. So the trailer of the week this week, everybody, we are talking Dr. Sleep, which is the sequel to The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go first? What are our thoughts?
I like Ewan McGregor, man.
Yeah.
I'm a huge supporter of that dude, and I don't know if I've seen a movie that that he was in that I didn't like. Maybe the later Star Wars ones, but...
But he had Obi-Wan. He was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, he was the good part about that trilogy was Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, he's such a good actor. And
he's a good actor.
I mean, that's a good way to get people to watch it if Ewan McGregor is the lead.
Well, Chris, you were saying that, like, that's kind of their anchor point. You kind of feel maybe that putting Ewan McGregor in his pole.
Yeah, I would. I'll be honest, the trailer didn't get me super hyped. It looked a lot of like, I don't know. I just, it didn't. The original Shining to me has that really creepy factor. It also has Stanley Kubrick behind the lens. So it's shot
I think that's
really
what
well.
It's missing.
Yeah, this really didn't set it apart from anything else I have seen recently or have seen trailers for. I didn't really get that creepy vibe. When the It trailer came out a few years back.
Yeah,
that was creepy.
It really felt atmospheric and Shining here. I didn't, red rum on the wall. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you in the fact that I'm excited to see it, but the trailer isn't what's got me excited. It's the premise. It's like I really fell for the documentary Room 237. Any mm-hmm. other guys see that?
No. Nope.
Which is kind of some... It's a lot of different directors that nobody knows about and film professionals and reviewers deconstructing the real story inside The Shining, which to a lot of them was the demise of the American Indian. Like there's Kubrick pulling from different parts of history and putting into the movie in little Easter eggs, and it's this deconstruction of the movie.
Oh wow,
it's pretty interesting. It's incredible. Like it's a stretch in its best representation, right? Like you're like, come on, like you're just digging for shit at this point.
Yeah.
But that kind of nostalgia is what pulled me into the trailer, right? Like I love The Shining. It was the first scary book I ever read. It was one of the first scary movies I ever saw, and it is Kubrick at its finest, right?
I like that they're from the trailer. They kind of have the homage back to the original.
Yes, that's what I'm getting.
Right?
At,
you got the hallway of blood, and you get the kid driving his big wheel, and the twins, and the old lady in the bathtub.
And I'm saying, like, I feel like now the new movie didn't really show us its own hallway shots, mm-hmm. or
maybe they're
like,
saving
that rug. That rug is now famous.
That's yeah, right.
It's hotel. It yeah. shows up in the first Toy Story movie. Sid has the bad kid has that, that rug.
Oh, right.
So just it's something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
If you take out the homage and all that stuff, even the end shot here, even going through the door, like Jack Nicholson.
Or
yeah,
John Favreau.
We're just getting all our old
Johnny
men.
Fever.
Johnny.
But you take out all that. Even take out the red rum stuff because that's still like, oh look, remember the red rum? There
yeah,
wasn't a lot.
They're
to
using
that
aspect to pull you in because it's been so long. I agree with you on that.
What I do like is the, the whole idea of the group that are going around and trying to find these people that have these special abilities, right?
That's interesting to me. That's the one part of the story that I'm like, oh, there's more people with The Shining?
Yeah.
This is not just...
It seems interesting. And then the way that they cast the young girl that he connects with, that Denny Torrance connects with in it, I don't remember the characters' names. I've heard little bits and pieces from the book, but I know in the book there is no connection between her and any previous characters, and I'm wondering, since she's cast with an African-American young girl...
Is that dude from
if it's going to be like the granddaughter of... The
Scatman Carruthers,
right? Yeah, from the first movie. I'm like, oh, are they gonna like tie in some connection there? And I kind of hope they do, honestly.
That would be cool because
he's the one who
lineage,
told Danny
right?
about
yeah,
The
yeah.
Shining
because
in the first place.
They both had exactly. it, they
yeah,
had it right. So,
yeah, I think that'd be kind of cool to tie that in.
Danny, do you want some ice cream?
How did you know?
All right, so I guess across the board, we're somewhat excited, but...
I'm
going to
see
skeptic-
it.
Yeah, theater? You're going to go to the theater,
yeah,
Martin,
I'm
you think?
See it.
Chrissy's, like, opening night. You
okay,
have to
yeah.
go see it, yeah. She's obsessed with that series.
It, and you know what? I know from It, and, well, It 1 and It 2, the remakes, Stephen King is very on hands this time around, as opposed to just, yes, here, send me a check, here's my rights, make whatever you want. Where you, Martin, you were saying earlier, like the creationist who hates his creation, is that
the creator who hates his own creation?
Yeah, exactly. And that's Stephen King has nothing but bad things to say about the original versions of a lot of these movies. So I know he's been hands on with this one as a consultant. Easiest word to use. He was a consultant with It, so that's why I think this second iteration of these movies have a little bit more more behind them. Than
yeah.
if they would have been made in the 90s, right? Like, do you guys remember, like, the Langoliers and all, like, the weird...
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Like, they made a lot of his movies into, like, movies of the week. They
I just hope it's not
like
the Dark Tower. Just don't make it Dark Tower. I love that series, and just don't make it into that
movie. Didn't they cram the entire series
into one movie?
I don't know when the rights were sold to that, but it was not, like... It wasn't a recent
just
thing, right?
Like, I know it's probably been talked about to death with going back to the MCU and Dark Tower. Just take what the MCU did. And just have patience.
Yeah.
Just release each Dark Tower book as one. It'll take 7 years, however many there are in the series.
I'm no publicist or book junkie, but I think it is his best-selling series.
Yeah, so take the time.
Yeah, nurture it, yeah. Right? Let it grow.
It's not going anywhere.
Build
now,
some anticipation.
Yeah, exactly. Now you've sullied it for the next 20 years.
Well, that's what he did.
He did that with his show, I imagine.
He did that with Green Mile, and he did it with The Dark Tower, where it was like, here's a book, and 2 years later, I'll bring you back another book.
Yep.
And he did that with The Green Mile, where he wrote one a month. Like, he wrote it and then released it like
I read
every couple weeks for an entire summer so that there was some anticipation.
Has Stephen King been the author that has the most movies of it?
Like, he must.
Books?
It could be.
Adapted into movies? It has
Who
to
else
be.
Would there be? Clancy, maybe? But
yeah, Tom yet. Clancy, but I, don't, but I think Stephen
Clancy,
King has more.
Clancy, Robert Patterson with the Along Came a Spider series. He writes crime novels. Clancy, you write about.
No.
King just has so many. And like you said, the made-to-TV stuff.
Yeah. Like
I read a... Oh, good.
They did a remake of The Shining for TV.
Yeah, I saw that remake.
It was horrible. It had the guy from Wings, one of the two guys from the TV show Wings.
There you go.
And like it was just so bad. And they rewrote it where Danny was more involved in the end with... like it missed every beat.
I read a good comment on the Dr. Sleep trailer thread the other day where someone said they should do like an anthology series on Netflix where each season's a new book kind of deal. So
that would be cool.
8 to 10 episodes. Yeah. And it would be like just Cujo, but 8 to 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You just get the whole thing.
That's a really smart. Well, that's what they.
And then just the next season would be whatever.
Yeah. There's pick whatever book you want.
Pick,
right? Yeah.
Just pick it out of a hat.
Tommyknockers. Yeah. Let's do that one. Yeah. Right. The Castle Rock. Have any of you guys watched Castle Rock?
No. That's based on the town that he.
Well, it's based on the town.
The main town. The main
it's
town?
Based on the town that's close to where he's like where he lives, right? Because I believe he lives in Maine.
Where the
majority of all of his books takes place.
Was it the Shawshank? It's that one.
The town that it takes place in is very close to where he lives physically, but the town that it's written in is just outside of where Shawshank Prison is, and Shawshank Prison is part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes Easter eggs and certain aspects from like 7 different books and incorporates it into a new story. So you hear about Shawshank Prison and you hear about the town of Derry and you hear about all these other things that have taken place in Needful Things and in Rosemary's Baby and like all of the major novels that were hits for him are part of this story.
Oh.
And it's about this guy, there was this murder and I think it's loosely based on 5 years after the Needful Things story takes place. And there's a murder and it wraps in some of the stuff from it. It's all over the map, but it was very well done and very good. And that's again, because they allowed him to be like they gave him the George R.R. Martin pass, right?
Mm. Yeah.
You're allowed on set. If you've got info, you can give it to us. So I think.
Was George R.R. Martin not allowed on set on season 8?
Well, no,
something went wrong there.
He clearly couldn't find the set.
I think they just told him, it's going to be here, George, but no one's there.
I did watch The Last Watch since we were.
Oh, what Steve talked. Yeah. Yeah. Chris, Steve talked about
it was good.
The Last Watch documentary they did on Game of Thrones. It was like how they made the last season.
Mm-hmm.
And he referenced a part where they were going back and forth between like the major, like the executive producers are like, this is a family. This is a major event. We all love doing this together. And then they pan over to set and everybody's like, fuck you. This sucks. This is my worst day of my life. Back and forth. Was it worth watching, Mark?
It was interesting. Yeah, it was true. They focused a lot on the one extra that's been like the Stark army.
The beard dude.
Men for the whole show. It was interesting that they put it in that sort of context. It's neat to see behind the scenes a little bit. The table read was really cool. Like the table read for the new season. Where Kit Harington doesn't read it prior to the table read, I guess.
Yeah,
so he doesn't realize that he kills Danny, and you actually see the true emotion of them, like looking across the table at each other and being like, "I'm sorry," almost, right? And she's like, "Ah," and she slides down in her chair.
I'm almost ready to watch it.
Yeah,
like I still have such a bad taste.
It was better. It was better than the last episode.
That says so much.
Which is now going to be nominated for an Emmy, probably.
Yeah.
You heard about that, too?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous that they're submitting anything from the last season for an award.
Maybe episode two.
Are they submitting it for a Razzie? Like, what the fuck? Like, it blows my mind that they could even... But, okay, to be fair, from their perspective, they think they did a good job. Yeah. And they worked really hard. And they did.
Well, and they want to put...
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
They want to put up, they want to put up something going out of this, right? If
yeah,
you just ignore it.
To that would be conceding to the fans and agreeing with them that yeah, we did a shitty job. So to not throw it up for an award is admitting your own defeat, I guess.
Now the thing is, true if enough. It wins, what does that say?
No, there's something going on.
Everybody's an armchair quarterback, right? I mean, that's what we're doing here. Like, it's essentially everyone.
Just take the goddamn knee.
Yeah.
Like, just admit that it wasn't. Just take the knee, run the clock. It's over.
You didn't.
Let's just get it out of here.
You didn't give the fans what we wanted, but you did make something that that can go down in infamy. I will agree with that. You just didn't. You didn't give the most important person the one paying $20 a month to watch your fucking show.
Yeah.
Right. But
here's an interesting point. I was thinking about this when we were talking about some of the other things that are going on with the Stephen King books, the made-for-TV stuff, mm-hmm. the stuff that a lot of the direct for Netflix, like we bring up, we're watching a lot of Netflix. Well, we're the real debaters, right?
Yep.
Movies, but movies have changed a lot. I was listening to a podcast recently where they talked about like the big comedy and a lot of the different genres of shows that were theater shows earlier have disappeared. In lieu of, you know, your MCU, your big action movies that have kind of taken over at the box office. And a lot of the great stories that used to get told on movies in a theater are made for TV now or made for Netflix. Or when TV used to be the ugly stepchild of movies.
You would literally say, like, you'd
hear them
say,
but that's not how it is anymore.
It's not how it is.
I'm slumming in TV. Yeah. I'm waiting to go back to the movie. You're saying that the changing of the guard is kind of happening?
Yeah. TV's not what it used to be. It's a different way of consuming the same media. And it was an interview on some podcast, and they were talking about, it was an older actor's son. Craig T. Nelson.
Okay.
And talking about
the
way that his kids consume media now. He says, my one son never goes to a movie. He watches a ton of stuff, but never goes to a theater. I don't know if he's been to a theater kind of thing.
Just like the VHS.
Yeah.
Well, it seems they cracked the code when it's like, okay, we just don't have to do this in the movie theater. You can take the budget that a movie gets over, and you can divide it out over the course of 8 to 10 episodes and make a better television show that is cinematically a carbon copy of watching a movie.
Exactly.
Right. And that's what people want. So that's what you do. And that's why you've got these guys like Steven Spielberg and George Lucas who are like, fuck streaming. And how dare you make a movie like you make a box of Kraft dinner. Like, it shouldn't take that. It should take more time and effort. And it's like, yeah, well, that's the era you came from.
Yeah.
This is the era that's now before you. So you either change or adapt, motherfucker.
So do you guys think that's a good thing? Like, that we're sort of moving in that direction? Is this a positive change for film? Or
I think it challenges film and makes film try to do better, because there's a lot of recycled garbage out there. We live in the day of the remake, the reboot, and whatever re-up you want to call it, right?
Well, the big franchises now, like you mentioned, Marvel and all that, have really just pushed out those medium movies.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and Crave are now where those movies get to go.
The niche markets. Is that what you're...
Not even just really niche, but like something that could have just done okay at the box office now has a lot tougher time, because through the summer it's just like Fast and Furious. Oh,
that's
now
true.
The Lion King's out. Oh, Toy Story. Now Frozen. It's like, man, I can't compete.
Yeah.
We were just supposed to be a run-of-the-mill $40 million budget maybe, and now we're not we might not even hit that.
It's like playing the Yankees.
And
you're, you know, some farm club.
We got to go somewhere, right? Just
yeah.
With it. And if someone has just even a slight unique idea, the general public doesn't eat that up anymore.
It seems to be a lot of humor's gone that direction, you know?
Yeah.
The humor's moved to television and
Netflix.
Series and Netflix.
Yeah.
You don't
Sandler
see
movies.
The budget.
They're all a lot of the real stations on Netflix.
I'm trying to think of the last big comedy that everyone was sort of talking about that came out in theaters, not that came out on Netflix.
The Hangover?
Yeah, The Hangover.
Hangover's been about
a decade
now. Has
there been anything
now?
Since then?
Really? I can't think off the top of my head.
Like, other than Bridesmaids, right? There was kind of the...
But they don't get the marketing, and that's really where your movie
there was movies
shines
like,
or doesn't.
Like, I heard Game Night and, like, Tag.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
These were kind of good.
But, like, the ones that you remember. Like,
I liked with Jason Sudeikis, Were the Millers.
Yeah. That's probably
Sudeikis?
8 years ago.
What's that?
Sudeikis? Jason Sudeikis?
Yeah, what did I say?
Sudeikis.
Isn't that what
that's
it
okay.
is?
That's okay. My mispronunciation
tag
disease.
Tag wasn't bad.
My mispronunciation
But, I mean,
disease.
I wasn't going to the theater to see it.
No,
I watched it on an airplane.
And then we got a bunch of, like, Anchorman 2 and Super Troopers 2 and Dumb and Dumber 2. We just started getting all these
I can't remember the last comedy. Because
that's the only way they thought that maybe people would go out to, like, oh, we'll just do sequels.
And
man.
It used to be that like comedies were... Where that was the
I legit I can't
to.
Remember the last comedy I've seen in the theater. It's probably The Hangover.
It's just, for myself, I think it's...
Deadpool.
That doesn't...
yeah, but... Yeah.
I guess so, but that's like a...
But comedy was like dessert in that, right? Like you went in for the meal, which was the superhero movie, but then you got comedy as like a...
It was unexpected. Like we didn't expect it to be that comedic, and it was
I
good.
I think it's just, it's too much to see a comedy on the big screen.
Yeah.
There's no point.
There is no point.
Well, I don't want to need to see it on the IMAX.
You know what? Like, because certain movies totally. Need, certain movies need the screen and the sound. Like not everybody has that Dolby digital surround sound. And I think some movies you still need to see in the theater that way because that's how they're meant to be viewed.
Yeah.
Well, and with how fast they're on digital now, like how quickly they get released, there's just no point.
No. Yeah, so. It's the assembly line of movies where, and like you said earlier, it's like if you can't go to the movie theater, well, you can still do it without risking a ton of money.
Yeah.
Cut your budget back a bit, go, okay, this isn't theater worthy, but you know what? Everybody's watching streaming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it'll find a home. And you won't risk you won't die of anxiety, and you'll sleep properly. Like it'll be a love project as opposed to a labor of love is what I'm trying to say.
Wasn't there a big controversy though about it, like a Netflix movie getting nominated?
It has to have a theater run,
right? Yeah, you had to have a theater run, and they released it in like the minimum amount of theaters for the minimum amount of time, just so it would qualify.
That's Roma?
Yeah, Roma.
Yeah,
and it won too.
Right, it's a good movie.
Yeah,
amazing movie.
But that's, I mean, the only reason they released in theaters is just to satisfy those criteria to be nominated.
Which is such an old guard way of thinking.
But that's who runs it now. Still the old guard.
Yeah,
fucking Academy.
It's got to die. Yeah. They just got to die.
It's a movie, whether it's on the big screen or it releases.
That's how I feel.
More people probably saw it because it was on Netflix as opposed to went to see it.
100%.
Oh, totally. And he, I can't remember the name.
Like,
of
I don't think
girl.
I would have paid to go see that
he
in theater.
He was the one that did Revenant, right?
That's Alejandro.
Or is this the guy that did Gravity?
The guy who did Gravity is the guy who did Roman.
Kieron?
Yes. Somebody fact
Something
check
with an
it.
A.
Hang on. We'll fact check
Alexandra.
This later.
Alfonso.
Alfonso Cuarón? I believe you're right. We will fact check this later.
No idea.
But
I get two bucks.
But I wouldn't have seen Roma at all if it wasn't for Netflix. Like,
I'm
going to
be honest.
Alfonso
Cuarón. Yeah.
I didn't pronounce it right.
That's all right. My disease is contagious. I mispronounce everything, and everybody in this room shits the bed.
You know what? To be fair, I've never really heard anyone say it out loud, so it was really just me guessing.
It's a good guess.
Good guess.
We don't know that he's even correct.
Yeah. No, I don't, and I pretend to be correct. That's another problem of mine. Next on Should
We'll
have
ask
known
John Favreau.
Favreau. I don't even know. Favreau? Is that what he said? Favreau?
Fava.
Fava? Favreau?
Can I get a liter of cola? Can I get a liter of cola? Well, all right. That was a great debate. We can go home now, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, cool. let's get on to the bullshit of this whole episode here. Martin, please introduce this week's debate topic.
Okay. This week's topic, we're basing it on Sylvester. your thing is getting to me now. I can't pronounce names. Sylvester Stallone characters, not Rocky, not Rambo.
Yeah.
You have to pick one. And this person is the camp director of your summer camp. Which Stallone character would it be?
Yes. So we're hiring for a camp director position. Mm-hmm. It's a summer camp for kids ages 12 to 16. I think that was what we agreed on. Mark, I don't know if you were informed of that or not. But 12 to 16 was the age range.
Always the last one to know.
I forgot that detail. But it doesn't matter.
Doesn't really
I don't
matter.
Think it really cares.
Martin usually keeps a couple details in his pocket just so he can
Guys,
pull them out.
There has to be balloons in the camp at all times.
Totally. And then which Sylvester Stallone character, which was no Rocky, no Rambo, because those aren't. I think we did that because they really they're
it's too easy.
It's
too easy because everybody loves those characters, but they're so one dimensional.
We want the people to know about the characters that maybe.
But
you
I
know, that
I think it's been brought up that pretty much all these characters
are
very similar.
Similar, just different jobs. Just different jobs.
Don't expect much range.
Different
today.
Time periods.
No, actually, pretty much the same time, all within like 8 years of each other, maybe.
We definitely pulled from the 90s catalog, that's for sure.
90s and late 80s.
Let's just say old Sly didn't have much range.
I don't think new Sly had much range either, so I think we're good.
Yeah.
I love the dude. I love his movies. I don't watch it for the range.
So, and we have no rules. We could pick from any movie.
Yep.
You just had to argue why you
As long as he was in it.
As long as he was in it.
Oh, that was a criteria.
Yes. Yeah.
Son
yes.
of a bitch.
So, like Chris, you mentioned him in Guardians.
He was
the
in
the Guardians
it.
Movie. He was in he it. Was, so you could pick that guy.
He was in Guardians.
You just wouldn't have much to say because I think he walked into one scene and walked out of the same scene. And
yeah, you'd really have to fill in his backstory. Yeah. And yeah,
make it up yourself to fan fiction for that one character.
Hang on, let me go to Guardians Wiki and see what they've got to say about Stallone's
acting. They probably have a lot. You'd be surprised.
You know what? Yeah.
Got an incomplete canon for him from like 50 years.
No, it's just it's just the person debating it, writing all the Wiki stuff himself. There's somebody like, all right, guys, it's legit.
It's Stallone's
it's
agent writing it.
The Wikipedia page is on superheroes, just like, okay, this we got to slow this down. Like, it's more information than real life, like people that are important.
Well, but it's how you keep the debate going, right?
Yeah.
The more you add to a wiki page, the more it gives for cannon fodder for more debate, and thus you go. So, all right, so we agreed to start with Mark this week. So, Mark, please tell us what character you picked and why you think he would be a great camp director.
Well, I picked the obvious choice, in my opinion, after I was reminded about it by my lovely girlfriend, Chrissy.
She told me that if you didn't pick this, just sorry to cut you off, that there was going to be problems at
home. Yeah, there would be hell to pay. And I kind of forgot about this movie, how good of a character he was for this particular scenario. And then I rewatched it and I saw the light and I came around and I changed my pick. So I picked Lincoln Hawk, this character from Over the Top. The trucker, arm wrestler / absent father. So I looked at that, and it's interesting. You mentioned the age is like 12 to 16, right?
Yes.
Because I think his son in the movie is about 12, 13.
Yeah.
Because they make some reference to when he gets him to drive the truck. He says, you know, he's still a couple years away from learning how to drive. Right. So, yeah, I mean, talk about a camp counselor character, right? He's strong. He's knowledgeable. You know, he's a tough guy. He teaches his son that, you know, they go into the diner and he puts his son arm wrestling against the big kid and teaching him how to overcome adversity. I mean, there he is. He's supportive, tough love, you know, same thing. Whereas they're driving in the truck and the kid's just yammering at him and says, "Oh, are you aggravated?" And he's like, no, I passed aggravation about a mile back. But he doesn't get angry with the kids, right? His patience. He says, yeah, smart ass. Like, basically, get in the driver's seat. Let's see what you got. If you think, I'm dumb
that
truck
is,
driver.
But
right?
He does it in such a great way, too. Like, he's just like, he pulls over on the side of the road, turns the truck off, gets out and says, "Give a shit, kid."
He's a perfect example of speaking with a jerk. The best, because I rewatched it like just within the last couple of days. He says, "Oh, I always wanted to be a milkshake."
It's some great humor in it. It is,
right? And but he's this tough guy, right? This big trucker. The truck stop guys want to arm wrestle him. He's obviously known for his strength, and yet he's. He doesn't go around fighting anybody. Like, he's not aggressive.
Not unless his hat is turned backwards.
Wow, that flips the switch, right? That's the machine.
Yeah.
He does push that guy through the window.
He does, but I mean, come on. That guy was... That was the henchman of his father-in-law. We made a comment about that, too. Like, that was some really strong wood that he pushed him through. Not... it's great. I mean, great movie to begin with. I forgot it was that good. Some of the appearances of like some old wrestlers and stuff like that.
What's
were in
the
it.
One guy?
Like Terry Funk, who is, you know, old WWE wrestler, plays one of the henchmen. You know, he picks his son up. They never really get into why him and his wife were estranged in the movie, but it seems as though they imply that the father basically pushed him away.
Yeah, Robert Langdon's character.
They don't really
like,
spell it out.
You're not good enough for my wife.
Yeah, you're not good enough. So
he's blue collar.
He pushed him away all the time, and he always wanted to be back. Like, he was still in love with her, obviously. She's still in love with him, obviously, and wanted her son to get to know him. And he had sent him hundreds of letters, and the kid never believed it because the kid never got the letters because
the
mother
father,
kept,
stopped them from getting out. Yeah.
Right. So and there's a big scene where the kid realized, well, he was always there for me. And, you know, and even if he wasn't there, I mean, these are all the characteristics I want in that fatherly figure / camp counselor kind of person. Right. That's the person that's there, that cares to teach you things that even when you don't want them around, they're still there. They don't give up on you. You know, these are all the qualities that Lincoln shows. And then, I mean, he basically gives up everything, right? He sells his truck and he bets his entire life savings basically on himself that he's going to win this just for the reason, you know, that he's going to be able to have money to get his son back. And he turns down the big paycheck and the brand new truck from the yep. father-in-law, yep. right? And it's just all because he wants his boy back because that's his kid. And then to see the end where they come together and everything else, you know, I just think he's a fantastic character. I mean, as far as some caring, it's the most caring I've probably seen out of Stallone.
I agree with you on that. It's definitely my dad, coming from divorced parents in a tumultuous parental environment. My dad put that movie on and was like, we're going to bond. Right, like he didn't even like let the movie do the work. He was like, "We're gonna bond." I remember him saying that.
It's a good father-son bonding.
It's a
movie.
Great father-son bonding movie, and that camp director slash camp counselor aspect to him is I agree with you that he would be very patient and very understanding and a good role model. Right, like there's a lot there.
It's tough for an adult man to have a relationship with a 12-year-old where things don't get weird.
Yeah.
And I think that Lincoln Hawk is capable of walking that line and doing a very good job of it.
Sure. What kind of skills do you think he'd bring as a camp director to a camp, for example?
To like, a camp?
Yeah. Like,
well, what? I mean, look at the organized activities.
Okay.
Arm wrestling, right? Look how fast he just grabbed a bunch of kids sitting around a diner and put together an event. I mean, he can kind of make something out of nothing, right?
This is very true.
Right? Clearly, you know, he seems very capable of handling the wilderness and anything that would be thrown at him. I can't say that he actually did, but
would there be truck driving at your camp?
There could be truck driving. You know,
it's like just a recruitment center for truck driving.
Truck driving arm wrestlers. That's what he's turning out at the end of the week.
Well, I mean, the movie was about truck driving arm wrestlers. He didn't get, but I mean, look at where the kid gets kidnapped there briefly, right? I mean, look at him. Jump into action.
That's true.
To say, I mean, if I want to leave my child with somebody at camp, I want somebody that's going to put that effort into saving them. He'll risk life and limb and everything to take care of our children. So, I mean, yes, you want the camp counselor to be fun, but I want somebody that I feel confident leaving my kid with.
Definitely. No, that's
so
a, that's a
I
big
think
thing
that
on the
that's
list.
Yeah, that's I mean, he seems loyal. That's exactly what I want. And, I don't see many downsides.
Well, that's
I don't know about you. You can throw some options at me, but
I was going to say, what do you think, boys? Is there any downsides to having arm wrestling truck
drivers? That's like one kid. Like how I don't know how he would deal. Like this is what we don't get out of the movie. How does he deal with other people's kids? And in like you know, there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them. How do you deal with we don't? That's the only thing we don't know. We're unsure
it's
of how
it's
do
a
with
camp.
That.
Also,
he's fine with his own kid.
Are you telling
like
me that the final scene in Vegas at the arm wrestling championships? That's just not a bunch of big kids running around there.
But that's
there's
that's
people chunking motor oil and just screaming and pounding their chest. That's a bunch of kids.
That's a bunch of dudes.
That's a bunch of kids on summer break.
Here's the thing, but we don't know how we would deal with females. Like it's we didn't specify that the camp is just for males.
Well,
right?
We don't need to. It's multisexual.
Yeah. So I mean, we don't like it's a bunch of boys running around. But how does he deal with the opposite sex? Like we don't.
I'll
know
give
that.
You that. There's no real other than how much he cared about his.
You could assume, but we don't know. They don't deal that. They don't say that in the movie. Is all I'm saying.
I just
and how
feel
one
that,
kid how one kid yeah. needs parental guidance. Yeah. It's not the same for the other kid.
No.
And he might not realize that.
Yeah.
I was a camp counselor, and there is no broad stroke for an entire cabin.
It's everyone's
children.
Their own thing.
Everyone is their own thing. I had a bedwetter. I had no idea how to deal with that. And I don't feel that giving him motor oil to chug and then teach him how to arm wrestle would fix it. But I get it at the same time. He's got a big heart. So yeah. The father aspect is very key to being around a group of children and
but
taking
But just the
care
fact that this is, we see him never meeting the son before.
This is
right?
true. Mm-hmm. It is all from scratch.
Right?
That, yeah.
So, I mean, talk about adapting to new challenges. How quickly he adapts to that new challenge and dealing with it.
Okay.
You know.
But his hand's forced. He has to.
And that's fine.
His mom's dead. You're right. Yeah. He's
you know?
Got no choice. Damn it. Wish this kid was 18. I don't want
right?
to keep
but
trucking.
But not once, I don't think, was he ever going to give up on the kid. And I liked seeing that.
I completely agree. Until... there is a point where he does admit defeat, and I think it's because of the grandfather, right? Like he eventually is like, I can't climb this mountain because I don't have the money, and the courts won't allow it.
I think he uses it, though, right? He signs the papers, but with the intention of coming back and taking the kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got a little seedy plan going on in the background.
Yeah.
Any?
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Anybody else? Anybody want to take pot shots at this guy? Or are we? Yeah.
No, okay. That's my only pot shot. Was we? There's a lot we don't know, but he is he is the most caring Stallone character. You're right. I think. Maybe who is the Oscar? Oscar maybe would be the only other one, but
like the movie Oscar? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. He was Oscar in Oscar.
I never saw it.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. So. That's okay. I mean,
yeah. But he was definitely a caring Stallone character in that one. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's to our next debater, Christopher Stanton. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. And he didn't kill anyone in that movie.
That's why. That's why it was a big thing.
Yeah. No, you're right.
That's why it was nominated for Razzies. Yeah. Okay. I was looking this movie up.
It's nominated for Razzies.
The kid was nominated for Razzie for Best Newcomer.
That was the kid from Flight of the Navigator.
Or Worst Newcomer, right?
That was the kid from Flight of the Navigator.
Was it? He looks really familiar.
That was the kid from Flight of the Navigator.
He does have that.
He's a little smart ass. I hate him for most of the movie.
With his suit?
Yeah.
And how he's upset that it rips and, yeah. He's just a little bitch.
The scene in the diner where he's talking about the food that they're ordering?
Yeah, like he's above it all.
Yeah.
And
stuck up little prick.
Fucking kid.
Yet Stallone has the patience to deal with him.
Still arguing. This guy's hanging on to this one.
Wait till he hits 20 or 30 kids. And then he's like,
oh. Yeah. You.
Then he just throws them all in the back of the truck and fucking drives them off a cliff.
It's chugging motor oil or in the back of this 48 footer. I don't know what to tell you.
Over the top, baby. Over the top.
Stanton, you have the floor.
Give us your time, Stanton.
My choice this week, I think it's. Perfect choice, even without hearing your guys'. I chose Ranger Gabe Walker from Cliffhanger, the 1993 smash hit starring Sylvester Stallone, Michael Rooker, and John Lithgow as Eric, whatever his last name was. He's the villain. But I say Ranger because that's what he is. He's a mountain climber. He can climb mountains. So if you want to talk great activities at a camp, mountain climbing. You train him. Throughout the, is this a summer camp? Do we decide?
Yeah, summer
on
camp.
That?
Yes. Summer.
So you start them small, right? You give them all the safety courses and everything, but the big challenge is that big old mountain in the background, and everyone can't wait to do
the one that they're all staring at.
They're
while
all
doing
rock
the ropes
climbing.
Classes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the main thing. But this movie demonstrates like this is going to be a fun camp. We're talking 12 to 16-year-olds. We're going to have a fun time. He's going to train you about geo tracking. There's a lot. They're chasing after the money in Cliffhanger and taking them around. Spotting them out. There's even for daytime activities. It's maybe if it's this in the winter, up on the mountains. He built a snowman at one point, kind of deal.
Yes,
there's an arts and crafts. Let's have an arts and crafts. It's an arts and crafts.
He takes the tracker from one of the suitcases.
Yeah,
and
makes
puts it in a snowman.
And at first, I'm like, is this a bomb? Like, has he set this up? And no one's fazed by it. They're just like, oh yeah, it's a snowman. It's dumb. There's a point that I assume. There's the two hippie kids, the extreme. It's the 90s, right?
Yeah.
So everyone's extreme.
The base jumpers.
Neon. Yeah, exactly. They're doing the skydiving, base jumping. I assume.
Gabe, we're going skydiving.
Yeah,
you coming, buddy?
And he thinks about it, and then you see him well up, because this is shortly after he's coming back after the tragic accident of losing his friend. You see him well up a bit, like it's affecting him. We'll get to this. We'll get to all that.
Oh, that's
how
my
did
one
his, how did
retort.
His friend die?
Calm down. Let him get through it first. Fuck
I know,
you,
he's
I want
dealing
to use
with
that.
This. He's dealing with this. I touch on this.
There's remorse for that.
We we watched it today, and a lot of it I was like, there's a lot of part, and this is going to hurt my debate, but I was like...
I was like, Mark is sitting here just ready to go.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, this guy's got a lot of baggage and should probably not be in
but
charge of,
hold on to.
Of 50 kids. other little fun things. The kids, or the two hippie kids, whatever you want to call them, base jumping, that could be an activity for the 16-year-olds. You know, you've been coming to Camp Stallone for the last few years.
Camp Stallone.
But only the 16-year-olds get to do it. Only
technically, it would be Camp Walker.
Yeah.
Camp Walker.
I should have said Walker, yeah. There's a part in the movie where they've strapped him with, a rope, and they send him up to get one of the boxes of cash on, a mountain cliff. And then they start pulling at him. And he's like pulling back, and like it's the force of like two men trying to pull him down. I was like, yeah, tug of war. You know, tug of war could just be a fun thing, but his own extreme version.
Group activities.
Like, yeah, in when it's up high.
Walker rules today.
Let's see what else. What else did I run? Ran here. So talking about the tragedy that he, you know, that happens to him at the beginning. He loses his friend. And there's the 8-month period of him dealing with it. So, you know, he's trying to deal with it.
It's more
his
than
way.
His friend. I think it's his friend's girlfriend.
Fiance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fiance.
Yeah. It's Michael Rooker's girlfriend. So they have that kind of relationship.
Fiance.
Yes. Yeah. So he knows, I feel he'd want to teach the kids, especially maybe the older ones, maybe like your 14, 15 year old kids, how to deal with these kind of, you know, life. Not achievements, I was going to say.
Life curveballs.
You know, when someone in your life finally dies, it's great. A little trophy will pop up for you.
Sometimes life's rope is too short.
Yeah. But like dealing with like these little sidesteps in life and how to, maybe there'd be some sort of counseling class in that he could provide kids. Because, you know, it's 2 months long.
Grief counseling.
Yeah, grief counseling. Maybe some kids are there because their parents are going through a divorce.
Or fell off the side of a mountain.
Or they fell off the side of a mountain. Six people have
There's a support.
Fell,
there's probably a support group for that.
Six people fell to their death.
Or at least
movie.
A subreddit. There's a subreddit.
How many kids are
in
expendable?
The movie?
No, I was going to say, like, how many kids every summer are you allowed to lose in order to, you
What's
know, keep
quota?
It realistic?
I think the number is 2.5.
Okay.
Boy Scouts of America.
That's
says
an acceptable loss for each summer.
2.5.
I feel it's 3.333 repeating, but that's just me personally.
That's the Leroy Jenkins.
Mark, can you quickly run the numbers for me, Mark?
Let me catch numbers. 3.33 repeating, of course. Chance of success. Sorry.
Just a few. I don't know how much time I have left here. Spelunking.
All the time.
Spelunking was another thing. They go kind of cave diving. That would be great.
It's still just climbing.
Yeah, it's going now. It's now climbing.
You're just
so much
bringing
climbing.
Forward different types of climbing. There's this. It's all
so
climbing.
Much. one thing.
Is this a climbing camp?
We've got indoor climbing. We've got outdoor climbing.
We've got underground climbing.
You can jump off while after you're climbing and just fall to your death. The one thing you won't find here at Camp Walker, though, will be water activities. He's not great with the water. There's some scenes where he struggles a little bit. He's a rock. He's a rock
He's
type.
Solid, yeah.
He's a rock type for going Pokemon here.
Yeah. I was just going to say, are we talking about Pokemon?
He's like, he's in Captain Planet. He's Earth. He's Earth in Captain Planet.
He's made of solid Earth alloy.
Yeah. So he doesn't do well with water.
Very susceptible to water attacks.
There's not going to be a lot of wildlife.
Just hope it doesn't rain.
But
it's like the back of a Pokemon card. Skills, attributes,
But
faults.
The thing is, for the first few weeks, you know, like I said, he was a ranger, so he knows survival tips, how to light a fire. He's still going to teach all the kids that. That would be the early kids, the younger kids. That would still be a big focus.
I'd feel
the
like
ones that
you,
make it.
How you can survive on your own in the wilderness. Well, how you can only have a t-shirt and then just climb the side of a mountain and be okay.
In the winter.
Overnight.
In the winter.
Yeah.
Kids, this is...
That's the final test. You
need
get the badge.
You need steroids to get this big, but when you're this big, you've got enough muscle mass
Unfortunately,
to survive a winter with
Well, the steroids heat up the body, right? So, I mean, you don't... He's actually too hot wearing the sweater with the holes in it.
Unfortunately for the camp, there's not a good catchphrase. That came from Cliffhanger itself.
Because nobody got caught. They got dropped.
He says something at the end to Lithgow. What was it? Oh, part car. I don't know. And Serena was watching it with me. She was like, was that like,
the catchphrase?
Was that the big, like, I'll be back? I'm like, I hope not. Because it was really, like, long and convoluted. So.
Well, you know, Camp Hawk has the catchphrase, the world meets no one halfway.
Where Camp Walker has the... Nobody gets caught.
Hang on.
They'll get dropped.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Camp Walker, you might fall.
Lots of climbing. Lots
of just Camp Walker of climbing. For climbing for climbers.
Yeah.
Camp Walker climbers.
You give
Walker's climbers. Walker's climbers.
Oh, I see there what you did there.
There it is. There it is.
Those are nice shirts. I want shirts like that now. Walker's climbers. And it says that it's a Cliffhanger logo, just a big, like, just forearm holding onto a rock.
It's the silhouette of her dropping while he's, like, hanging on the line.
Yeah.
Walker's climbers.
Another con, you would have to probably deal with his PTSD, which would probably pop up from time, especially if a kid was about to fall.
Yeah.
And then he would probably like, just freeze up. He'd clam up, yeah. And
I'm just picturing like a campfire where he goes into like some dark storytelling yeah.
episode. Like his war stories, yeah. but it's just like people falling.
I think my favorite part about your argument is you bringing arguments that would shoot down the reason why it wouldn't make a big camp. He's got a lot of PTSD, guys.
I was prepared. This is a red flag. At the camp council, I'm like, hey, we really like this Walker dude, but...
But we got we need to pay attention.
We can't
to
leave him alone with the children.
Yeah.
You're going to have one of those boards where it's like days since we've lost a kid.
Yeah. Constantly zero.
It's just zero. Do you guys even have the other numbers now?
Save money. They have to fight all those lawsuits. Yeah. You know what I mean? All the money's in lawsuits of losing children.
Oh. And that's Camp Walker.
That's Camp Walker. All right. Well, and like, I mean, my only thing is that I don't trust somebody who drops people off the side of a cliff with my children.
He
so that's the
that's
only.
Not, that wasn't him.
That wasn't.
If he didn't do anything, it was going to snap regardless.
That's yeah. But we knew that the.
Technically, he doesn't drop children. He just drops adult females.
So that's if you want to say anything, maybe his safety isn't great. Like
which
he should
like
he should have
that's number
he
one
he should have really made double check that the belt the strap was in there
attention to detail
yeah but although five. I think it's the clip itself that snaps so he can't
it slips it does it yeah. well, it breaks actually
it
yeah.
breaks so
yeah.
he can't he's already up there he doesn't yeah. know yeah. although Serena did point out why
so
did
that was
he...
that North Face's fault? Or that that wasn't Walker's fault. That's North Face's
he's
fault.
He's been carrying this for so long, and it was the backpack manufacturer.
It was Adidas at the time. I don't know. It was popular in 93.
What were you going to say about Serena?
She mentioned the movie opens where they have to save the two, Michael Rooker and his fiance. The helicopter flies up and kind of lands near them, and then Stallone just climbed up there for just to show off, I guess. It was just kind
of
weird.
Yeah, there is that opening scene when they meet and he's on the edge of the cliff.
Yeah, he's
and
already
Gal
climbing.
Looks down. Yeah.
Why didn't he just go in the helicopter and then like
maybe
rope,
the winds were
rope
too
on
crazy?
Down?
For some reason, I think the wind.
Then why would he be
winds.
Climbing?
Because he's that's Gabe Walker. He doesn't care about
I like
wind.
How I'm like arguing this now. I don't know.
He could have just spelunked down from the helicopter.
Yeah, exactly.
He's only afraid of water, not wind.
That's true.
Hang on, right? Let me use one of my three skills I'll have at my camp. This will be entertaining.
All right, that's my time.
That's your time? All right. Well, okay. I am next, and I almost went with the Lincoln Hawk thing, but I went, it's a little too mushy. Mostly because every argument you used, I didn't think would win. That's essentially what. No offense, I'm not trying to be a dick.
I'm offended.
That's a backhanded compliment, essentially.
You know, just saying no offense doesn't make it any less of an offense.
Like, okay, yeah. You really did cut me deep, but
offense is about to come, but not meant on purpose.
No offense, you shit stick.
So I decided to go with, and I've only got like really three reasons for this, but I decided to go with John Spartan from 1993's Demolition Man, starring Sandra Bullock, starring Rob Schneider, and starring Sylvester Stallone, obviously. The reason I went with this, the obvious reasons, like the boring reasons are we have a cop. So we have somebody who is willing to protect and serve. So you've got your safety under control, right? He may have been frozen cryogenically for making a couple mistakes. No big deal. A couple people got killed in a bombing. It's not like it was all his fault. It's mostly Wesley Snipes.
Just
to blame.
Some of it.
Just some. Well, fault. Some. It was everybody makes bad decisions. Okay. So, but there's that aspect to it, right? His desire to protect and serve and to make sure everything's safe and great. But I really picked him because he's been cryogenically frozen. And the world that he is brought back to, he has no idea what to expect.
I think I know where you're going with this. Mm.
So as a camp director, you can tell him whatever you want to happen. And he'll be like, okay, that makes sense because it must be what's going on. Mm-hmm. So as a camp counselor... In a previous life, I decided to look at each skill that would be fun and how to convince John Spartan that this is how it's actually done instead of how it's supposed to be done. So let me bring up my list here. So first of all, archery, right? Boring. You're shooting targets, paper targets, maybe a pop can or something, right? Every archery class would have to commence with the flaming arrow scene from Braveheart. That's what I would tell John Spartan, that that's how we would have to start our archery class. Everybody lines up in the field, dips their arrow in some paper towel and some kerosene, lights it on fire once we commence the archery class, right? So there's rule one, there's day number one.
Okay.
Canoeing, would be turned into bumper canoes with small motors on the side of the boat, and you would just ram into each other until the canoes were broken, right? Because he doesn't know any better, right? He's
again, nice. This is in like 2032 or whatever this movie takes place, right?
Yes, it's I actually, is it 2032
or it's in the future?
It is in the future, but I feel it might be today's future, like 2019. Okay.
Right now,
but
right now.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it from a camp perspective as opposed to a when this camp is happening. If it was 2032,
we didn't specify when the date would take place, but he does his thing.
The movie is 2032.
Yeah. So then we get on to water skiing around a lake, kind of fun, tubing, kind of fun. There would be a set of jumps.
Can he
involved.
Swim?
Can John Spartan swim?
Yeah.
I know he doesn't know how to have sex in 2032.
I just hope that should not be brought up in this argument at all. As a camp counselor, having sex is not, we don't need that skill from John Spartan.
He's
just saying.
He's so good at sex.
We don't need that skill from
what he brings to the table.
The list of things he doesn't know how to do in the movie are those two things.
And that's why they hired him. And like, oh,
how's he
going
to teach the kids to go to the washroom in the woods?
All right, so after everybody's done...
No, like, fucking seashells in the woods?
I'm not sure about the Spartan guy. You're losing me.
With water skiing, I would just want to turn it into like a giant game of Wipeout, right? Where you're getting pulled behind something and then you're bouncing off targets. Go ahead.
I just want to say this. Yeah. Like, okay, so we went someone with like... very little safety to no safety restrictions at all.
Like, okay.
Like, he's a demolition man. There's going to be no camp left.
And my argue against
arrows.
This. Okay, hang on.
Flaming arrows? It's just a fire hazard. You're adding fire on top of the list of things that could go wrong at this camp.
It's 2032. The kids are like, let's just shoot our laser guns.
Yeah. Fire arrows? Who needs
this?
The kids
hate this.
Okay, but hang on. So... the most fun I ever had at the camp I worked at was when all the kids weren't there and we got to think up of fun ways to use all the shit for 2.5 days on the weekend, and then we'd have to go back to being safe during the week. So I'm taking from my own personal experience of it was always more fun at camp when we were left to our own devices than having
responsible. When you weren't doing your job.
Like when we were just fucking around. So my fun version of camp is the complete opposite of what normal camp would be, which is why I stole him, because... whatever I tell him, he has to do.
So you're the camp owner, and you're just going to enjoy fucking with the guy you're hiring
pretty much
to run your camp.
Pretty much.
And telling him everything wrong so that he endangers all the people that come to your camp.
Yeah. Well, no, but it was more... I'm not saying there's no
action
danger.
Point with Johnny
this should
Knoxville.
Be a movie. This should be a movie.
I would watch the movie, but I'm not sending my kid there. That's not...
I honestly think you'll have more lawsuits than Camp Walker. Climbers will have less lawsuits than yours.
It's 2032. The safety violations you have broken
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
Yeah, MDK all around. That's it.
Like, I know I can't get insurance for this camp, but at least in
my
mind...
It's not even
going
to open. Yeah. It won't pass safety regulations.
Spartan didn't take the job.
Well, and then...
Well, he couldn't because it never opened.
Wesley Snipes is still on the loose.
Let me fucking get through my list.
His nemesis is going to show up at the camp
and kill the kids. Because all they had to fight with was arrows.
Instead of lasers.
Flaming arrows, motherfucker. Get it right, okay? It's archaic. So after that, you mentioned rock climbing. Like, Gabe would, obviously, I can't compare with Spartan. There's no rock climbing in Demolition Man. But we just turn it into bungee jumping, right? Because fuck it, that's less time, right?
What kind of camp is this? What kind of camp are you running?
Death camp.
And then arts and crafts would be, as soon as you get into the arts and crafts cabin, there would be 3 seashells. And you'd have to figure out how to teach John Spartan to take a shit. That's
what?
That's
the kids?
Class.
This is the camp. This is the camp for all the bad kids in school who are now sent here for punishment.
So this is like yeah.
Detention center.
It's all the misfits. You're running the misfits.
Is this juvie?
Camp.
A juvenile detention camp.
Is your camp a juvie? Juvie.
I like this 1994. Movie. This is good. Rick Moranis is in it for some fucking reason.
My God.
And they're on a football team.
I think that was the most ridiculous thing anyone's ever said on this show, was that the kids have to teach John Spartan, an old man, to take a shit. I'm like, what the fuck? Sorry, but it's your time, but it's just, it's, we can't not.
Arts and crafts is based on coming up with, like, using string.
Fecal
and
art?
Like, I was well, just no. like, can't they just craft the arrows that they yeah. gotta shoot later?
I don't know. What?
Sure, that's fine. I mean, like, I was trying to figure out where to put these three seashells, and we never learned where they go in the movie. So
they
I
could
figured,
just be in the
why,
bathroom.
Why, I know, but why not make a class dedicated to each kid having to come Ooh. Up with an ingenious way
of teaching Sylvester Stallone
three seashells?
What life skills? Well, not, like, okay. hey, when your grandma visits, you'll be able to make a bucket for her. So she can just poop without having to go upstairs.
And then lastly.
Oh, there's more.
There's one more. There's one more. Is pillow fights would be replaced with...
Pillow fights.
Oh, that should not be allowed at all.
This is sexy time.
No.
Juvie kids.
Jesus Christ. You realize kids' hormones are raging and you have pillow fight? That's not...
After a day of rough and tumbling bungee jumping. Yeah. Okay, kids... Pillow in, come into your bunk beds with your pillows.
Pillow fighting would be replaced with mixed martial arts training.
Oh, okay. Wait, what do you mean replaced? What camp were you doing pillow fighting at?
Oh, the camp I worked at. We'd have like
camp does not sound up to code. I'm not going to lie.
Like, there would be
tickle fighting.
So essentially.
Martin, you have a lot to...
I don't know what to do about this.
My head hurts.
So at the end of all of this, I'm only using John Spartan because of his lack of what's going on currently in the world. So you could turn any situation into whatever you want. This is clearly my outside of the line situation that would never happen. But I feel that he's moldable, right? He's impressionable. So if you want to hire somebody and you want...
No, the teenagers that he's like in charge of are moldable and impressionable.
So,
appears there's nobody doing the molding.
it's they're helping each other.
Unless that's in shit class. Yeah. I don't know. Is that in shit class?
Yeah.
You better bring
Gabe Walker in.
Yeah, I got to clean
this up. You know
what?
I think if Gabe Walker and John Spartan combined, they would make one regular man. Yeah.
Camp Spartan Walker. No, so that's Camp Spartan. That's how I would... That's what I would hire for.
All right, Martin.
Oh my God. I just needed like a quick minute just because that Mark is speechless. Like he's never, never this quiet, but he just couldn't get over that.
It was. I just assume he would have quit after the first week.
take the knee. We talked about taking a Game of Thrones knee. You should have taken the knee after 6 minutes. Yeah. it was funny though, Mike. That reminded me of the flailing episode that we did.
Yeah, this week I did not go for practicality. I was like, I'm going over the top.
Over the top.
Yeah, well, I'm very curious on your writing process on that, your thought process and all that.
I went to going, okay, you worked at a camp and you had to be incredibly safe and mindful. And it was not really that fun. I mean, it was fun for the kids, but it was never fun for us. So I'm like, how do you turn all these skills that
but
you
it's
do
about
camp?
The kids.
I know it's about the well,
so you bring in somebody that knows nothing. Yes. And it's just fun because you fuck with them all summer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's like hiring Mork to run your camp.
100%, buddy.
It's like the Rick and Morty with Rick fucking with his daughter and his daughter's husband. That's all. He's just fucking with Jerry. Oh my God.
All right,
Kimar, what did you bring?
I went with the 1995 classic Judge Dredd, the original version. Starring Sylvester Stallone. I can't even pronounce Sylvester Stallone.
That's okay.
Sylvester Stallone, Diane Lane, and also Rob Schneider. Yeah, two back-to-back.
You followed him around
Rob
in
Schneider
the 90s
movies.
For a bit, eh?
I did. I think he did. He was a good sidekick.
Yeah.
Sort of deal. Basically, like, I went with mine. Like, I went, because there's only, like, the types of kids who go to summer camp are either, they're either people who aren't getting enough attention at home, usually troubled.
Camp Spartan.
Yeah, camps. Yeah, the people who go to Camp Spartan. That's why I went to summer camp. I went to summer camp because my parents both worked 9 to 5, and in the summer when I wasn't in school, I needed to go somewhere, so they sent me to summer camp. I mean, I definitely, you know, what that type of kid who wasn't getting enough attention. I think my character, like these kids, I would usually act out at summer camp. A lot of kids wouldn't. I think you need kind of that strong authority figure to kind of reel those kids in. And I'll just tell you about my camp. It's called Joseph Dredd's Respectable Citizen Training Center.
Well, he had a name.
I had a name for my camp, guys.
One more time, sorry.
Joseph Dredd's Respectable Citizen Training Center.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. This sounds like a disinformation campaign. This does not sound like a summer camp.
The camp, here's the description of the camp. Simplistic, as they say on the home channel, very minimalistic.
Okay.
So we're no getting bunk rid, beds. We're getting rid of a lot of the, like, the kids can't bring any personal effects. You know, it's just very no distractions. Basically, like a Marie Kondo thing. If it doesn't give you joy, you're just taking it away.
I feel like they had some of these camps in the 40s.
Yes. Were they in Germany?
A lot of open concepts. Kids will have to construct their own shelters. One of the things is from the movie of Judge Dredd. He uses recycled food, so there's no waste going on in this camp. Very
Hail
green,
Judge Dredd.
Very green camp.
Very. I like that. Okay.
And I just want to say this about Judge Dredd. This is not to be confused with, is it Carl Urban who played him last?
Carl Urban played Dredd.
Not Judge Dredd. Yeah. This is Sylvester Stallone character. He's a bit more lovable, kind of more emotion, human.
What Dredd did you
end,
see?
At the end. The end of the movie. I'm talking about him at the end, not at the beginning. Him at the end of the movie. It's a different Dredd. He's like, I like to call him a hard ass with a heart of gold at the end. Like, for example, I'll give you that the Rob Schneider character, when he's going through that flaming tunnel, he falls and yells, "Help me, Dredd, help me, Dredd." The old Dredd would have been like, "No," but he actually goes back to save this man.
The old Dredd would have been like, "No, I am the law."
So which Dredd do we have in your
We have
camp?
The end of the Dredd, the human Dredd, the human, a little bit more loving, a little bit human.
No
face but still,
shield,
but still a high, a very good moral compass.
Hashtag still not great, my Dredd.
Still a great moral compass.
Hashtag not my Dredd.
This Dredd cares about the safety of his students. No, like we
but
know that
with
he's
his, with his past. Does the camp, the people hiring, do they know this? Do they know that that's the Dredd?
Do they know that they're hiring a judge, jury, and executioner?
That's Judge.
Hey, here's Judge Dredd. Strong moral compass. He did teach ethics at the police academy, so he was a teacher. He's used to teaching students, guiding minds, shaping minds.
The kids, they raid the kitchen. They get all the food, and they go over and they egg and they.
Oh, they get punished. They get
what
punished.
What happened?
He walks up. He's like,
there's gonna be some vacancies at camp.
It's only Dredd making
scrubbing those latrines with the toothbrushes. That's what's gonna happen.
No, I don't.
He's like, no, my mom never made it. Your mom is not the law here. I am the law. I am the law.
I think the next morning after a night at Judge Dredd's camp, like you said, Mark, it'll be like, all right, roll call, everybody. Where are the 7 children that aren't here this morning? Yeah.
Oh, it's fenced. It's a fenced perimeter.
Is it electric
fence? It's a fenced perimeter. They can't get out. They can't get out.
Guards with guns at all the exits.
Canines.
We like to call them judges. Maybe those they're not guns. They're judges.
Those collars.
Yeah.
Is this camp just in one of those like towers that everyone lives in?
It's like I said, it's a camp for troubled youth. For troubled youth. It's not like it's a
troubled.
Like a rehabilitation center.
What's that movie with Sean Penn where he's trapped in a prison just like this when he's younger?
Fast Times at Ridgewood High.
Fast Times at Ridgewood High. Yeah, that's what I was
going to say. I was going to say milk, and then he's trapped in a prison. I'm like,
don't know that one.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a strange metaphor.
Right. Okay, you get it. Yeah, you get it. Thank you. Okay, someone gets. That's why I was like, I don't know. Then he said prison. I was like,
did you seriously go there?
Yeah, I did.
It's just your camp is reminding me of this prison movie that Sean Penn was in for juvenile youth, like and the guards.
But that's
did
that's
nothing
my
but horrible
camp.
Things to them.
Well, that's not what we're doing here. We're trying to motivate them into
we're molding
responsible
tomorrow's
citizens.
Youth of America. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, they need direction. They need a firm hand. You know, they need not a firm hand. Oh God.
Not at my camp.
Not at Camp Hawk.
Your hand would be the firmest of all. We know what he does with that in the truck. That's the firmest hand in all the Stallone movies.
You don't want to get hit with that tricep arm, that's for sure.
I'm just thinking, like, if I hear on the news, like, say a few years ago, oh, this
Judge
rogue, this cop went and he ended up shooting, I don't know, some suspects, and it turned out they were innocent or whatever, but he had to do his thing as police. And then it was a few years later, I was like, oh, this guy's now running a camp.
He never murdered anybody, though.
But there's still, like, the whole, like, the shooting.
Oh, the shooting,
Is this someone that I now want in charge of kids? Well, I don't know innocent. If I've, but I don't know if I've seen that part of him. I've seen what's in the news, and if you see Judge Dredd running around, he's probably
kind of
popular.
News story is that he wasn't guilty. He never shot those people. You know, he was a cop. He was in a line of duty. You know, he did his part to serve society, and I think now he can pass that on to this new youth to get them in the right direction. You know what I mean?
Kids that have been sentenced to your camp.
Yes. Yes.
Sent. Yeah. That's the thing. But that's my camp.
It's a camp in the loosest terms.
Yeah. It's a loose term.
Nobody calls Martin's camp and says, "Do you have any openings?
Yeah.
Can my child come for some regimented discipline?
My little Billy's looking for a place for a couple of weeks."
Yeah. Well, it's a rehabilitation facility. That's what I said. That's a rehabilitation,
like you guys,
a respectable citizen training center.
I don't think Judge Dredd knows how to hug. Where Camp Hawk?
I don't know, man. Is there touching?
Hard those hugs are?
Yeah, I don't think you want anyone hugging. I don't think you want any of our characters hugging kids.
No, your camp is less kneeboarding and more waterboarding.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I feel safe. Mark, I'm really leaning on sending my children to yours. It's really safe.
Really safe.
You have a dad.
We have a lot of waterboarding. Yeah. Oh, is that like where you get pulled behind the boat?
If that's what you want it to be.
There's a towel, Mom.
Yeah.
It's a specific thread count, and I'm not allowed to breathe.
It's really safe.
On that note, that should be your catchphrase.
It's really safe. Yeah, it's really safe. Your kids will come back alive, unlike the other camps that we've heard today.
They will come back alive. Completely brainwashed and click their heels.
But alive. And parents will be like, "Wow, how did you get my son to do his laundry and to put his dishes away?" Well, that's what happens when you come to Joseph Dredd's Responsible Citizen Training
Joseph
Center.
Joseph Dredd's.
Check us out on Instagram.
I feel like... Like Lincoln Hawk went and picked his kid up from your camp at the beginning
of
my movie.
Military school.
Yeah.
And then he grew as a person.
Yeah.
Military school. I picked this one just because I knew it'd be funny. I'm like, I'm just going to try to make
funny
things out
of this.
That's
what I did. I was like, I'm not going with some boring ass camp.
No,
I want
no.
a camp where everything from top down is
you
fucked
got,
with and there's
You got
chaos.
Pillow fights and questionable. I don't know what you're putting in the drink.
But
my guy, no PTSD. Just say that. He's sound. You can leave him alone.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I think.
Maybe not touched upon in the movie, but that character definitely has PTSD.
After shooting people for how many years, you eventually have some shit that needs to be looked at. And I think that might accidentally get out.
Well, that's Judge Dredd, the sequel. counseling for Joseph.
They didn't call it Judge Cheer.
No, Judge Dredd.
And eventually, I am the law. We'll just stop. Like, you know when your kids are, like, when you're
that's
fighting.
That's his response
well,
to everything
on.
At camp.
But, like, yeah, but when you're fighting with your parents growing up and you get the just because from your parents, right? And you're like, well, why? Just because. Do what I say. I am the law. We'll get eventually boring after a while and be like, I don't care how much the law you are.
No, he has the law book with him. Like, you know, that law book that he always carries around. He has that with him. He's like, this is Article 6, Paragraph 2 of the law. This is not living. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that. He'll have that with him.
Your camp just reminds me of Camp Krusty from the
70s. Yeah.
Mine Everyone's reminds me of Auschwitz.
Well, that was his. That was his. His camp was Camp Krusty. Mine is more of a detention center. Yeah.
Yes. Camp Spartan is John Spartan is director.
Mine is like, you know, the prison in Judge Dredd that they send people to Aspen Penal Colony. That's pretty much the old. They use that.
So
facility.
You admit it's a prison.
Responsible
looks at
citizen
his, looks at
training
his book.
Center.
Yes,
responsible citizen training center.
All right, that's your 10.
Yeah, I know.
that was more entertaining than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I went all out for that one, guys. I was like, what can I do to make this camp just the worst experience on earth?
Well, let's find out what camp is the best camp, shall we? Mark, considering you dove in head first. Would you like to cast the first note?
I'm going with Gabe Walker's camp.
Whoa,
of
okay.
You might come alive. You might come back alive. But at least you get to do some climbing.
50-50, but you'll climb.
Only climbing. All you do in this camp is climb.
You'll come.
ABC, always be climbing.
There's the motto.
I know my last name's Walker, but you'll be a climber.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's I'm going with Gabe.
All right, and Christopher Stanton.
I'm going with Mark's. His, if I'm a parent, his was probably the most eye appealing on the brochure.
The truck driving camp of of the modern.
There's mostly arm wrestling. Mostly arm wrestling.
On Camp Hawk's form, it would say, "Please leave deposit for child to chuck oil."
Yeah, because I would find your brochure like my kid's school or whatever, and yours would maybe be like stapled to a telephone pole, and Martin would just have like a smear ad on
Martin's
the TV.
Martin's would be government issued to you.
Yeah, exactly. So I just
our new center is located in North Korea.
Yeah, it just seems more wholesome. And, you know, it sounds more affordable than these other ones. And, yeah, I'm going with Mark's.
Martin's would be at the, like, the back of Handgun Monthly.
Yes.
Like, that's where I feel Martin's.
A little ad.
Just a little, like, 4x4 ad.
I think yours would be, like, your camp would be the, you know, how lawyers run those. If you have asbestos from this. I mean, like, if your kid went to John Spartan's camp, then come
get
over
a
here.
Hold of Jim the Hammer Shapiro.
Oh, what am I going to vote for? Do I vote for wholesome? Do I vote for climbing? Do I vote for a regimented environment that will send my child back with no life, love, or desires after that? Camp Walker. Camp Walker it is. I feel that he has maybe, if you compare his skills versus his PTSD, his skills win. I would say you need to see somebody once a week if you want to work here just to get over that shit so that the kids don't walk away going home with horror stories.
That's the terms I can agree upon.
I'll put that in his hiring contract. So Walker it is. So that's one for Walker, one for Hawk. Two for Walker, one for Hawk. We could have a possible tie here again. Are we going to go with the rules that we set out last time, Mark?
Yeah,
whatever
Shauna,
rules
then
you want to be.
Well, no,
it should be the same.
Same rules. Okay, all right.
It should be the same. We should keep it consistent.
Then the floor is yours, Martin Navarro.
I'm going with Camp Walker. I'm not going to lie. I got to go with Camp Walker because I think that, yeah, the PTSD is there, but he does offer more of a skill set in terms of, yeah, it's a camp, and he knows the nature, the
You'll
outdoors.
Get freaking badges for your sash.
I mean, it is a lot of climbing, but, I mean, he is a ranger, and he does have that skill set of providing more.
You want to learn how to make knots? We'll make some knots for you.
Well, just don't make his knots because people fall from them. But,
yeah.
But, I mean, like, yeah, it is a camp that I think would be fun. Just don't include that he had a lot of PTSD in his
resume. Like exclude from the brochure that somebody fell at
Fine
Camp
print,
Walker.
Because if someone brings that up, we could get sued.
It's that's true,
print.
Yeah.
That's where the counseling classes come in, because maybe there's some kids going through some divorces.
Due to previous issues in Camp Gabe Walker's life, you may want to know that one of many children have fallen at this camp. Please sign here if you give your consent.
All right.
Yeah. Well, what did we not pick? Like, what was on your list of
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot? I forget what his name is, but he was on my list.
Yeah.
Like we could
take because I was wondering if Estelle Getty come with the Sylvester Stallone character? Because I think she'd be great with kids.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
She'd be great. Grandma Getty. Yeah, definitely. If is that's he, a two, that's a two for one. Yeah.
Has he done any animated voices?
He was an ant.
Yeah.
So I don't. I think he was like a soldier ant, probably like a very. Like a very angry ant
so
with
he
a gun.
Was he was his every other character he's ever played
just
as
an ant.
Yeah. He's just an ant now.
I was going to take the sheriff from Copland.
Okay.
You were, yeah.
Because I figure if you can take care of a town full of renegade cops, you can handle a camp.
Oh yeah.
I mean that town is a camp.
Essentially, yeah. No, yeah. If you're and if you apply those aspects,
right?
To
talk
children,
about a camp counselor.
Yeah.
You're a small town sheriff of big town cops.
Yeah, you got your shit together.
Yeah, you get beaten up by them, but you still keep fighting.
I was going to take, I don't know his character's name off the top of my head, but I was going to take his role in Daylight, where he, where
the tunnel
floods. Yeah, I feel that there are people.
He leads a band of people there.
He leads a band of people out.
Yeah, groups of people.
He's yeah.
Groups.
Now that I could get behind, Mike.
Really?
Yeah.
Camp Spartan, that scares you?
Demolition Man.
You think there would be liabilities at my camp, Mark? Is that what you're getting at?
I can just picture that. Why are you hiring this guy? Because I think it'd be funny to fuck with him.
Yeah, like
he doesn't know anything.
Sitting in the boardroom after, it's like, so who are the valuable candidates? I think Spartan. Definitely Spartan. Why? Because he doesn't know shit. And we can tell him whatever we want. We'll get it done.
Kids will teach him how to take a shit, though. That's the big. Teach this man
not,
how to take
okay,
a shit.
It's not necessarily Walker. Not Walker. So many fucking stolen characters. Not Spartan. They're not like, all right, let's go to the washroom, Mr. Spartan. We'll show you how to
but
use
that's how you
three.
Said it.
I know that's how it came
out. Tape.
Oh, hang on. All you guys jumped on me so quick because of a 12-year-old teaching a full-aged man how to take a shit. But I'm like, they would all have to come up with their own way to take said shit with the seashells. Should that be the
no
way that...
No kid ever wants to do that.
It's my fucking camp. Yeah, so I was going to take Daylight just for his ability to lead people and to control a situation and apply that to a camp setting. Chris, did you have any...
No, my first one was Cliffhanger.
Right out the gate? Okay. Yeah. Well,
I have to admit entirely that based if it was on Netflix or not so I could watch it.
That's I have to admit that I actually picked Gabe Walker without knowing that you picked him. And yeah. Then I was told that it's already picked. And then so that was the one I didn't pick. So
that
that's kind of why I had to vote
that would have been
it.
The winner.
Winner, chicken dinner. Would it have been the winner, though? Do you think Mark... I know Mark's capabilities of arguing are very good, but I don't know if...
He would have played it that way.
I don't know if
he
would.
I think Chris presented a much more plausible angle.
Yes.
It'd be fun.
What are you saying? Camp Spartan's not plausible?
It is, but I don't want it to be. No.
I made
Stallone seem too approachable and weak.
Too likable, yeah.
Caring. I've managed to completely...
Well, on that note, I'd like to thank all of you guys for being here again, doing another
good
one
time.
Of these this week. This was very enjoyable. So to everybody out there who's listening, please check us out. We're on iTunes. We are on Spotify. We are on Google Play Music. And we are on our home website, Podbean. If you want to check us out on Twitter, it's The Real Debaters, as well as emailing us for any ideas. If you want to complain about what we didn't do right, or if you want to give us an idea of what to do next time. We are more than open to hearing from you at therealdebaters@gmail.com. On that note, thank you for tuning in. And guys, you guys want to drop anything before we go?
I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Mike, for all the hard work that you've done on the website, our homepage and the little bios and getting to know us. The cast of characters here was great. If anybody hasn't checked it out, go check it out.
Thank you very,
very
much.
Very impressed.
I just want to quickly say, also check out the Park Theater Showcase on
there he is!
July 5th.
That's a Martin Navarro style plug right there.
I forgot to mention at the beginning, but I wanted to just mention that I am on it. It's a very great show. Lots of great comedians. $15 at the door.
Yes, for anybody who is listening that is rolling through Winnipeg, we've got a great live local comedy scene here, and these two guys are incredibly funny. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on this thing because I'm a snobby, stuck-up prick who only hires great talent. And Mark, thank you for saying such things about me. That's great. I appreciate that.
We appreciate all your hard work.
We appreciate
Mike.
You.
Oh, you guys are too kind. So tune in. See us in 2 weeks for our next episode. I think, did we settle on IndyCar? What car would you use in an IndyCar race?
We haven't really settled.
We haven't settled on anything yet.
Ooh, that one sounds interesting.
Yeah, that was yours, Chris's, wasn't it? If you could.
I was just dishing
out
the
food
ideas.
One, too. The food one we did.
Yeah.
The food one was a good one.
We didn't really come up with quite a theme.
Yeah, but we could figure it out. But those are the two things we're looking at.
We're workshopping some things, everybody. So tune in to us on social media. You'll find out a little tweet or two about what we're doing. You're snapping. What are you snapping at?
Just what the theme could be. Something to do with Gordon Ramsay where you have to like put a team of chefs together. Who would you put together to present to Gordon Ramsay?
But does chefs have to be
movie
characters
related.
In a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be chefs. They can just be characters in a movie.
Exactly.
Ooh, that's nice.
Ooh. Tune in next
time. So like if you had to like pick somebody that might win Hell's Kitchen or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Pick your team. Or maybe it's just one person.
One person to win.
Yeah,
Hell's
that'd
Kitchen.
Probably be easier. Just one person.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. Yeah. That's not a bad one.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
That's where it starts.
Well, I'm Michael Petro. And
Martin Navarro.
And
Mark Cowell.
Chris Stanton.
And we are gone.